It's certainly good to be with you again tonight, and glad that we can spend some time in the Word of God and knowing what the truth is. Tonight I've prepared a lesson, and it's not an accusation, but have you ever considered what a hard-headed person might do? By the end of the lesson, I'll let you evaluate whether you or I might be that hard-headed person. Have you ever been accused of that, having a hard head? I have. I've been accused of that before, and maybe that's sometimes a good thing, maybe sometimes a bad thing. But we'd like to examine some things the Word of God has to say. Did you hear what Stephen preached? If you think it's a little harsh to use that kind of terminology, when he calls them stiff-necked, they're stubborn people, uncircumcised, they're unclean in heart and ears, you're like your fathers were. Your fathers were hard-headed, and so are you. That's what Stephen says about those people. I'd like for us to examine some things tonight, in just a few moments, about what a hard-headed person will not do. Let's study together from the Word of God. Have you ever thought about the fact that a hard-headed person is like a horse or a mule? Here it says, you recognize the phrase, don't you? Stubborn as a mule. The psalmist says in Psalm 32:9, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. We had a dog, not a horse or a mule, but we had a dog that we loved a great deal, and he's no longer with us, but we really loved that dog. But he was the most infuriating dog I've ever known in my life. If I said, come here, he ran away. And if I said, get out of here, he wanted to be right by my side. And if you tried to fool him, he could see through you, and he knew that you were doing that too. And I said, that is the most hard-headed dog I've ever known in my life. Well, here he says that don't be like that. Don't be like a horse or a mule. It shouldn't be our goal to be known as the most hard-headed person in town, where like a mule has to be harnessed, or else they'll not do what you want them to do. But instead, we need to be people who have a better disposition than that. Psalm 81 and verse 12 says, So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Just gave up on some people because they were so stubborn they wouldn't do what was right. Let them do what they wanted to do. Do you know God will do that? God will let us do. When we are stubborn, when we are hard-headed, when we are headstrong, when we are stiff-necked, God will let us do what we want to do. We'll have to bear the consequences of that. But God will give us up to our own stubborn heart to walk in our own counsel, our own advice, what we think is best. Have you ever given someone advice? You've tried to help them. You've shared with them the truth about maybe some spiritual matter or maybe some earthly matter. And they just didn't want to do that. They didn't want to listen. And so what do you have to do? I saw a couple of you go, shrug your shoulders and say, go ahead. You're so hard-headed. Just go ahead. I suppose that there's things in this life, if you tell someone to change the oil in their car, and they drive about, 30,000 miles without changing their oil. Well, so their car doesn't run anymore, and that's okay. But there's some things that we can be hard-headed about that have much greater consequences. There's truth and counsel from Scripture that we can give to folks. And people can be so hard-headed that they'll not do some things, they're going to have some eternal consequences. You know, a hard-headed person will not obey the gospel. There are people, and I don't know sometimes why they torture themselves, but they will come into an assembly and they'll listen to the gospel preached over and over again, but never obey. And I can't tell you the reason, what the rationale is. I've had people tell me, I know that's what I need to do, but they won't do it. I know you're right. I know that's what God says. I know that's what the Bible says. When we think about obeying the gospel, that people need to believe in Jesus. And I believe that most of these kind of people do believe that Jesus is God's Son. I talk with them about, well, the Bible says you need to turn away from sin. You need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That you need to be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away. And you need to live faithfully. And they would say, yes, 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 and yes. I know that. I know that to be the truth. But I'm not going to do it. We need to not be so hard-headed, so stubborn, so headstrong, that we won't obey the gospel. When we think about that, you might look at some scriptures. Look in the Old Testament with me. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 15, what an example, a bad example Pharaoh is of being hard-headed. The Bible says that his heart was hardened. His head wasn't too soft either, too receptive toward the truth. And it came to pass when, this is Exodus 13, 15, and it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrificed to the Lord all males that opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. If you don't let the people go, there's going to be devastation. Moses came with a message from God to Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh would not. And there could have been peace in the land. There could have been salvation from such a terrible devastation as the firstborn dying. But Pharaoh wouldn't listen. He had to bear the consequences of his actions. Look there in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 12. The scripture says, listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far away from righteousness. People sometimes just won't do what's right because we're stubborn. We won't submit. In Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 4, remember how sometimes God sends the prophets to people and He says, they're not going to listen to you, but you go anyway. God says of them, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. You're going to bring the word to them. You're going to bring the word of warning. You're going to be that watchman, Ezekiel. But they're stubborn. They're rebellious. They're hard-headed. And they won't listen. You're going to provide a way they can be saved. But they're not going to follow it. Sometimes you and I can be that way. God wants to provide us that way of salvation. And sometimes people can just be so difficult, so hard-headed, that they will not render obedience to the gospel. You know, a hard-headed person will not return to faithfulness when they have gone away. It may be that they were soft enough. Maybe they were receptive enough. Maybe they were obedient enough to obey the gospel, to begin serving God. But then they go away. And I know people who have left this congregation. More importantly, they've left the Lord. and you talk with them and you say, do you know what that means? Do you know what it means to be away from God, to be separated from God? Do you understand that? I know. I understand. But sometimes people can be so hard-headed. They know they need to come back, but they won't. Remember in the Judges, the cycles that the people went through? They'd be faithful to God for a while. But then we read there, it came to pass, this is in Judges 2 in verse 19, it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. So when things got bad, they had finally turned to God for a short time. The judge would die, and then they would go away. And I sometimes draw a circle about that. They'd serve God. God would bring in oppression on them. They would repent. God would bring a judge who would rescue them, and then they would serve God. But that circle really looks more like a slinky. What do I mean? If I had a, you know what a slinky is? One of those kids' toys? Yeah. If I would hold a slinky by the end here, it would reach down and touch the floor. They didn't just keep going around in a circle, they spiraled downward. They behaved more corruptly than their fathers. They became so hard that they would just serve God for what was in it for them. And as soon as they could get away from that, they would go back to their unfaithfulness. Look at what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 78 and verse 8. About a generation here. He says, it may not be like their fathers. This generation was a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that did not set its heart to do aright. And whose spirit was not faithful to God. There's a key statement there. Sometimes people fail. And sometimes they sin. And you say, you see them come and they say, I'm so sorry for the wrong that I've done. I want to do what's right. But these people did not set their heart to do what was right. That was not their goal. They were hard-headed. They were stubborn. Headstrong. And rebellious to God. A hard-headed person will not change. I suppose that's what we have, most of us who have ever been accused of being hard-headed, maybe at home or on the job or in society, if we've ever been accused of being hard-headed, it's because, oh, they just won't change. They've got some bad habit or some pattern they've gotten themselves into, and they just are so hard-headed, they won't change. But you know, God demands change. Someone mentioned in Bible class this morning that when you think about that, you think about how we read God's Word sometimes just to prove ourselves right. But we need to read God's Word to say, what do I need to change? What do I need to do better? How do I need to serve God better? Look at what Stephen wrote. We referenced that earlier. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. God wants you to change. He wants to save you. He wants to improve you. He wants you to be better in the future than you have been in the past. With me too. All of us. And we resist. And we don't want change. We don't want anything any different in the future than it's been in the past. But God says you're going to have to change. That is the nature of the word repentance. Paul tried to get the Galatians to change, and they regarded him as an enemy. Have I become your enemy? This is Galatians 4:16. Because I tell you the truth. And you might think about another one. a hard-headed person. That stubborn, impudent, stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears can pick out other people's faults. But mine? Oh no. Sometimes you and I can be so hard-headed that we don't see when we're wrong. And it's a very sad state when we can't realize, I've made a mistake. I have sinned. I need to do better. I need to repent. I need to say I'm sorry and do better. Some people have such low self-esteem that all they can see is their own faults. But the hard-headed person can only see others. I think that was like the church is spoken of in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed. See, they thought they were rich. God says no. They thought they were the ones in white garments, and God says no, as Jesus speaks here and John reveals. He says, you need to be rich, you need to be clothed in white garments, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. You can see how poor you are. You can see how naked you are. You can see your own sin. Isaiah talked about the people in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 10. And he says, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. We're not blind, but we can't see. We're not deaf, but we won't hear. We're not, pardon the expression, stupid, but we won't understand. We have to see our own faults. One more. What a hard-headed person will not do. They won't submit to God. They want their way. Have you ever seen a stubborn child? They want what they want when they want it, and nothing will do unless they have their way. A shame to the parents, the scripture says. But sometimes we're like that child. We want what we want when we want it, not God's way. We want our way. You might look at James chapter 4 and verse 10. The scripture says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Don't put yourself up there. Elevate your will so high. But humble yourselves, submit to God, and let Him be the one who exalts you. That's what's also said in 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders, lest all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You want everything that's best for you. You want everything that exalts you. God says through the word here, you submit and you be humble. And God will be the one who raises you up, who exalts you, who shows His good pleasure, His grace to you. But a hard-headed person, it's counter to his nature. He doesn't want to submit to what God has to say. You've seen in construction areas or in work zones, hard hat area? Well, there's some hard head areas that we need to think about. Is there someone who needs to obey the gospel? As we offer the invitation, danger. If you need to obey, your heart and your head may be hard and you may not. Or if you need to return to the Lord and be restored, Your heart may be so hard and your head so unreceptive that you won't. You may be so stubborn that you won't. Are there changes in your life that need to be made to be right with God? Are you receptive and honest enough to receive those? Can you see your own faults, the things that do need to change? Would you submit to God? If you need to respond to the invitation, I'm not calling you hard-headed. But let me ask you this. If you know you need to respond to the gospel, and you won't, or you know you need to be restored, and you refuse, you know you need to change, but you won't, or see your own faults and submit to God, but you just say, no way. What would you call it? I pray that you'll have a humble, obedient, submissive heart to Almighty God, and that you'll come as we stand and sing the song.